Corrie, I read an interview with you on American UK with Martin Johnson. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's very recently, and I noticed something very special in that interview, and it is because the roots, and I'm now not located anymore in the Netherlands, but I'm living in France, 65 kilometers south of Soyeux. That's a place you remember?
Yeah, yeah, I remember playing there.
Yeah, that's about 10 years ago, I guess?
Yeah, yeah, I think at least about 10.
Yeah, and is that the only one time you've been playing in France?
No, I played in France. I can't remember the year. It must have been in 2004 or 5. I forgot the name of the festival, but I remember Zachary Richard was also at that festival that we played.
Yeah. So I moved from the Netherlands to France, and I noticed there's with the roots from the Cajun spreading all over the world, there was no radio program about Cajun and Zydeco here. Amazing.
Really?
Yeah. So I picked that up, and 2 months on the go, and especially you got some family roots that went many centuries ago. And tell me, your grandfather was a drummer, or?
Yeah, my grandfather was a drummer. He was a jazz drummer originally.
Yeah.
Because at the time frame when he was growing up, that was the music of the area that they lived in, which was it's called Parks, Louisiana.
Uh huh.
And that's the region where my father's family is all from. And this is around the beginning of the 1900s. And in that area, the popular sound was early jazz, ragtime, swing, and stuff like that. While going further out, like towards the Eunice area in Ville Platte and Mamou, it was the French music, the Creole music, like Amadei Ardoin and things like that. But the more you move towards Lafayette, Brobridge, onward to Baton Rouge and New Orleans, that the sound of that area was big band music.
Yeah.
And this was all before Clifton Chenier was even born. Clifton Chenier was born in 1925. So this is what my grandfather and all his cousins and his father, my great-grandfather, this is the music that they played between the late 1800s to the early 1900s.
Yeah, we always have a saying, the apple never falls far away from the tree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the roots spread through the family.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's, I've always knew this because the stories have been passed down, you know, from generation about our family. But I've never seen anything documented. And what happened was last year, Louis Michaud, which I'm sure everybody is familiar with, Louis Michaud of the Lost Bayou Ramblers.
I know him.
Yeah, yeah. So he came across a book. He was cleaning his house one day, and there was this book. The book is about Bunk Johnson. And, of course, if anybody doesn't know, Bunk Johnson is one of the forefathers of jazz music. He's the one that taught Louis Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from New Orleans, but the book is on Bunk Johnson. But when Louis was cleaning his house, the book actually fell off the shelf onto the floor into an open position.
It's meant to be.
And yeah, it's definitely meant to be. And when Louis bent down to look at it, he saw my grandfather's name, because I talk about him so much, and his name is Buchanan Ledet. So he starts to read. And it credits him as being a jazz drummer in several different jazz bands within the region that he was from, around the Parks, Brobridge, St. Martinville area. So he starts to read it, and he tells me about it. I go by, I start reading it. I recognize more names because, of course, it's my family, like all the Poches, the Ledets, the Charles family, and I'm seeing all these names. And seeing the area where they're from, and it just blows our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, it still has me on cloud nine, because this is a treasure. Like, a lot of people have no idea, like, how much jazz comes from the Acadiana area. A lot of people think it's mainly New Orleans, but no, a lot of it came from the prairie country Creole land. And I know a lot of people probably went to New Orleans because, you know, they consider that the big city, you know, and to go and play over there. But in this time frame, there were just as much jazz bands, if not more, in the Creole country area than in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And this is a treasure.
You're always remembered Clifton Chenier nights, special nights, and I found out why.
Yeah, and this is why I think Clifton decided to get a big band sound, because of course we know that when Clifton originally started, it was just him and his brother on rubboard, and even before that, it was just accordion and a triangle, or accordion and a fiddle. So around this time, Clifton was around all these bands because he was working in the sugarcane industry in Iberia Parish. And this is where all these jazz guys, all these musicians, horn players and drummers, this is where all these musicians were in this area. And then when Clifton decided to get a big band, he linked up with my grandfather, and my grandfather was putting those old jazz backbeats and those drum beats in there. And then of course, as Clifton got bigger, my grandfather didn't want to travel. He wanted to stay home with the family. He was a family man.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Clifton started moving around and getting bigger and bigger, he got the drummer that stayed with him for 30 years, which his name was Robert St. Julien. And then while Clifton was moving around, here comes Rockin' Doopsie Sr. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather got with him. And then the same thing happened. As Doopsie got bigger, he moved on and got other drummers, and then eventually put his son, Alton Rubin, on drums, and that was his drummer for the remainder of his career. And then here comes Furnace Arsenal right after that. So same thing.
But your grandfather, has he something to do with that double kick beat?
Yeah, those were the beats that they were playing in the time when he was in these jazz bands. He was doing like the double beats, he was doing the back beats, he was doing the shuffles. I mean, these are all big band sound rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he was doing as he was backing up Clifton Chenier, when Clifton Chenier was just getting his feet wet, you know?
Yeah, and yourself, you play all kinds of instruments, so also the drums.
Yeah, drums was my first instrument. Because, of course, my grandfather played drums. My father played drums, but he was never in the business. He just played, you know, sitting in.
Yeah.
My uncle was a drum major for Grambling State University in Louisiana. Our other cousin, Harold Poche Jr., was the drummer for Bobby Blue Bland for a number of years. And then we also have another cousin, we call him Soko Richardson. He was the drummer for Ike and Tina Turner.
Famous names, so, wow.
Yeah. And all these musicians, my cousins, they all come from a small town of Parks, Louisiana, like right there.
A lot of people from Louisiana went for economic reasons to Texas and to California. Your mm-hmm. family too, some members?
Yes, my dad eventually moved to Houston, just like all his brothers. My other three uncles, they all moved to Houston, you know, for work.
Yeah.
And that's where I was born. My father met my mother, and then I was born, and that's how I came around.
And there you meet G.B. Adams.
Yeah. I met JB. I had just been hired on with an older gentleman in the Houston area. His name was Wilbert Thibodeau, and his band was Wilbert Thibodeau and the Zydeco Rascals. And we would play every weekend. I first got the job when I was 12, And I stayed there until about maybe 16 or 17. And that's how I met J.B. Adams, through that. And we've been in each other's lives ever since.
Yeah. I heard on your new album, Correlate That Zydeco, I heard some songs with a very special rhythm too.
Yeah. There's a few rhythms that I wanted to put on there to pay homage to my family, because after discovering this book, it sparked something within me, and I wanted to incorporate that, and I think I'm going to continue to incorporate that as I go on and write more music. I'm going to incorporate these rhythms and this music, and also my great grandfather, which was my grandfather's father, he played the upright bass. Mm-hmm. And he actually played with Bunk Johnson.
Okay.
So yeah. That blew my mind.
Yeah. Can you remember I did a review for one of your albums many years ago, and I wrote, let's check that out on the dance floor. But remember, when you change the rhythms, let it be danceable.
Yeah. Well, that's my thing. I always wanted to. I want my music to be danceable, because I don't know how to dance to it, and it's funny to me that I can create these sounds and I can't even dance to it. But that's how I want my music to always sound.
Yeah, but it's a saying: musicians can dance.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing, but it's true.
Grammy Award nomination.
Yeah. So in 2012, I was nominated for a Grammy for my album entitled Nothing But the Best. Mm-hmm. And I had special guests on there. The special guests were the sons of the late Rockin' Doopsy, his son Anthony Doopsy, and his other son Dwayne Doopsy. Mm-hmm. And also Andre Theory from California.
Yeah.
So we're all friends, and I just wanted to have an album with these guys on there. I just thought it would be cool and interesting and fun. So I did that, and then they were saying, man, you know, you should enter it into the Grammy cycle and just see what happens.
Yeah.
So I did. And the first round, actually, I forgot to vote for myself because it was so much stuff going on at that time. Like, we were playing almost every day, and it just completely slipped my mind. And then one day my phone starts going off, everybody's calling, telling me congratulations, and I'm like, well, for what? And then somebody says, put it on the news. And I turn it on the news, and there it is, biggest day. I'm like, wow.
A crown on your work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, I always start an interview with how you're doing, but it's a stupid question these days, because nobody can play music. It's all forbidden. So how you doing beside that?
Well, I'm trying to keep myself busy as much as possible, as far as writing music, and just discovering this information has got me going pretty good. But I'm really, really starting to miss playing music and traveling. Yeah. And being able to come over and come over your way and play and hang out and visit friends and everything. I'm really starting to miss that. Music has always been music is so deep within me that it's always been my source of therapy.
An addiction?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And right now, without that, I'm going through serious withdrawals.
Yeah. And how can you cope with not earning your money this way?
Well, luckily, I saved a lot of money. For many years while playing, so that's kind of been helping out and getting me through. A lot of my other musician friends, they've gotten jobs now, and I'm kind of debating if I'm going to do that, because I know once you get a job, it's going to be hard, almost impossible to travel and play music, because once you get a job, they don't want to hear about that, you know.
Yeah. I heard job means just over broke.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, I'm just trying to I'm trying to hold out to see what happens. A lot of people are predicting maybe this fall the music industry will start to open up. So I might just hold out and see. But if not, then I'll have no choice but to be forced to get a job and play music whenever I can. And that's going to suck.
Being a multi-instrumentalist was very helpful with recording this album.
Yeah, it was because right when everything started to shut down, the studio said, you know, we can't go on. We have to shut down so everybody can be safe, and so that's what they did. So we couldn't go in there because the numbers were going up. And then after a while, a few months later, the numbers kind of started going down a little bit. So they said, look, you want to try to come in and try to see what we can do? And I was like, yeah, but I think I wanted to go in there and be safe. So I said, you know what, let me just go in there by myself and finish it off. So what I did is I went in there by myself. They set me up on the other side of the studio, and the engineer was on the other side of the studio.
Yeah.
So we were safe that way, and I played the accordion. I jumped off the accordion, I picked up the washboard, I played the washboard, I finished that, and I jumped on the drums, and I played the drums, and I just finished it out by myself, just to be safe.
Yeah, well, it helps when you play your accordion, you can have the drums already in your mind, so,
yeah.
Because otherwise it would be very difficult.
Yeah, it would, and that's the good thing about, you know, me being a drummer. When I'm doing my accordion part, like you said, I already hear the drum part in my head, so I know exactly how I need it to be.
Yeah, something you want to share with me about the numbers that on the album?
Yeah, so there's two cover songs. One of them is a Fats Domino song, the one that he does. He's called "I'm Walking." Mm-hmm. And
in French.
Right. It's in French, but it's also in the style of French that my family speaks, which is a different kind of French. It's a more of a Creole. It's Creole, and it's its own language. It's more than just a dialect. A lot of people think it's just a dialect, but it's definitely its own language, and it's called Kuri Vini.
Yeah, and you still speak that.
I speak it and I'm learning it. I also wanted to incorporate that in this album, so I'm learning that. I was a part of the generation that the parents didn't teach the kids because the parents didn't want the kids to know what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I didn't learn growing up. I learned a little bit. My dad would teach me a little bit, and then he kind of pulled back. So I'm learning as I go, and I'm incorporating that in this album. So. Yeah. There's that song in there, and the other cover song is Flip Flop and Fly, which is a Big Joe Turner song. Mm-hmm. And that's like from the era of big band music, you know, with the horns and everything like that. So those are the two cover songs. The last three songs, like we mentioned a little earlier, those are the songs that I went in the studio and did myself, which was Nina's Hot Step, and a waltz that I dedicated to my grandmother and my aunt called I Miss, and in Kuri Vini it's called Momoke. Mm-hmm. I Miss. And those are the three songs that I finished out. Well, the last song is called Stop Your Noise, and in Creole French you would say Arreto Tren.
So it needs to be spring as soon as possible for you to get things going. I hope not in the fall, but in the spring.
if they can say, you know what, let the music scene open right now, I would take that right now.
yeah. But the difficult part is Zydeco and Cajun dancing. There's no social distancing. You need to be very close.
Yeah, because you have to dance, and people like to, you know, have a good time and enjoy each other's company. So yeah, you have to be close.
And like all the festivals, there needs to be family, friends, the food, the music, and the dance. It's one part.
It's the whole package. It's definitely the whole package.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
And have a great day.
And it's good to hear from you again.